The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
You live here. He lives here.
Oh, man, Chris, God bless you. I love your show.
Good morning, Chris, and thank you so much for keeping us sane.
Chris, your show is the reason why I get up before noon.
And so science matters. And all Dale's been saying to Governor Wolf is listen to the scientists.
This is Philadelphia's Morning Answer with Chris DeGaulle on Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer.
Good morning. Hope it's a great one for you. 34 degrees, a little bit warmer than it has been. It's Fast Eddie Chiazzo along with you this morning. The great Tim DeMoss, my program director on the other side of the glass, making sure that I'm keeping my head cool and we're staying compliant.
It's going to be a lot of fun. A lot of fun today.
Good morning, Tim. Good morning. And yes, so a lot happened on Christmas Day if you lived in Tennessee.
I have a question before you get into all that.
Yes, sir.
Did you have coffee this morning?
I did not have coffee.
All right, see, I got an extra large down the road.
Ooh.
Just one, though.
Oh.
I have not sipped out of it yet on purpose for this very reason. So during the break, we'll pour it into two cups, nuke it a little bit, and we'll each have half. Is that fair?
That is very fair. Thank you very much for that, Tim.
That's all I do today, then I've done my job.
Yeah, Tim and I were actually speaking yesterday. I don't know if you received a gift for Christmas that would allow you to make coffee at your homestead, but Tim,
yeah.
I think you did.
I did. My son Tim is becoming a bit of a coffee connoisseur, and he bought me a coffee maker that's not the high end by any stretch, but it's sufficient, and it'll probably actually help me save going out as much as I do.
Right. So. No more 24-ounce.
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe just one instead of three.
Right, right.
I'll bring my own to get me started from home. Today I did not have a chance to do that, but yeah. Yeah, so it was great.
I wanted to thank our guest host, Christine Flowers. She did a great job taking us into Christmas and yesterday, and best of all.
Snacks.
Well, snacks for you guys and me, but yes. I got a bag of coffee that I can make
did
at home.
Did you really?
Yes, I did.
We did? That's great.
Yeah. Well, if you have a ground, so I got the coffee beans.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So they got to be ground up. And
that's the best part. Smelling that happening, hearing it brewing, the whole aesthetic or whatever, the experience, yeah.
So if I make it here and I use your new coffee maker.
Yeah.
Then I will share, of course.
Okay, well, that's fair. That's all good.
So in Nashville, Tennessee, a little bit, they had a little bit more excitement than the rest of the country on Christmas Day. If you are in Tennessee or in Nashville and you're listening, if you want to give a call, 610-850-0990, tell us your experience. There was a huge RV bomb blast that went off on Christmas Day, if you haven't heard. And this thing took out, I mean, you should see the video of this, just the devastation it could have caused. Thankfully, only three people were injured. And I believe up to this point, nobody is dead except for the bomber himself, who's called A Little Odd, the Tennessee computer geek behind the Christmas Day bomb blast in Nashville. This from the New York Post. Was a chronic loner who built a fence around his home to keep others out. Anthony Quinn Warner, 63 years old, had increasingly closed himself off prior to the bombing. Neighbors told the Tennessean just weeks ago. Warner built a gate in the fence, pulled his RV into the driveway, shut the gate. Neighbors told the newspaper the same vehicle authorities said Warner packed with explosives and detonated in the city on Friday. And of course, you know, He killed himself, injured three. And they always interview the neighbor in these stories. It's always the neighbors that they speak to. Oh, he was so quiet. He was so this. He was so that. So, of course, we have a quote here from the neighbor. Quote, "You never saw anyone come and go," neighbor Steve Schmolt told the Tennessean. "Never saw him go anywhere. As far as we knew, he was kind of a computer geek that worked from home." He described his longtime neighbor as a little odd. Schmolt told neighbors didn't notice when the RV disappeared from Warner's driveway. "To be honest, we really didn't pay attention. It was gone until the FBI and the ATF showed up. 6:30 a.m. blast outside a Nashville AT&T facility." So this damaged 41 buildings. And it's important to note that this happened outside of the AT&T building because I think it was last year that there was this big conspiracy theory around the 5G infrastructure that was kind of being rolled out across the country. All of the, I'm sure you remember the commercials, I think from last Christmas, Verizon, T-Mobile, AT&T, talking about, you know, this 5G network, how fast it was. But conspiracy theorists thought that this was a way for the Chinese to spy on Americans. And I know with some of the lower-end cell phones, remember the Huawei, which was a cheap Android option early in the whole smartphone boom, I think the government did find that the Chinese were spying on Americans through their cell phones. But so this is a guy who believed in that kind of, he had those theories. So this was outside of the AT&T facility. This caused a disruption to communication systems, I think even down to Alabama. It blacked out 911 centers in surrounding counties. Governor Bill Lee Saturday issued an emergency declaration seeking federal aid for businesses impacted by the blast. Curfew in place until Sunday. Downtown remained restricted. Wow. I mean, this was just, I couldn't believe this. The first thing that I thought, of course, was that here we go. It's Christmas Day, and we're looking at a terrorist attack. And to be honest, it was scary because I had been downtown Philadelphia for the first time in a long time since they locked it down in the weeks prior, and there was a truck driving around. Now, this truck in particular, it was talking about the genocide that pretty much pain and suffering that the Armenians are going through at the hands of Turkey, the nation. But what scared me about it is there was this sound and this recording that just kept playing over and over again on loop. And it was just very unsettling. I understand that, you know, these people, whoever bought this truck and this digital mobile billboard, you know, they paid. This is a way of advertising. I've seen a lot of companies, you know, advertise now on the side of trucks, but this just kept circling and circling Dilworth Park and Center City, City Hall. It just kept going around and around, and it was scary. And what happened with this truck is it was warning people on a recording over and over again, this truck, this RV in Tennessee, that, you know, clear the area, a bomb blast was going to go off, clear the area, a bomb blast was going to go off. And it really made me think of my experience downtown because, let's face it, right now, downtown Philadelphia is empty. So something like this could easily happen. And this guy, Anthony Warner, proved it.
Where were you when you heard it about it for the first time? Do you remember about the bomb?
To be perfectly honest, it was the next day. It was the 26th. So this Christmas, we did a whole, this Christmas, you know, as I know you hear on the commercials, this Christmas is going to be different than other Christmases. Yes, well, it was.
Yeah.
I went to my sister's on the 23rd. She cooked a big dinner.
Yeah.
We did a Feast of the Seven Fishes type thing at my parents' house on Christmas Eve, which usually, now, just for those who don't know, it's a big open house at my parents' house on Christmas Eve. It's like people coming and going. All once Mass ends on Christmas Eve, usually in years past, it's just an open door.
All night.
Food, drinks. It's a party.
That's great.
This was just a Feast of the Seven Fishes type thing. We did some fish at the kitchen table. And
that's simple. Yeah.
It was different from other years. But on Christmas Day, for the first time in my life, I cooked a turkey.
Really?
I actually had, I hosted, oh, I don't know if I should be saying this. Oh, I hosted 11 people.
That's one over the limit. You're going to have to go back and do that.
Oh, I hosted 11 people at my house on Christmas Day. I cooked the turkey, and this thing, it was 19 pounder. So I took it out of the freezer on Monday. By Friday, it was still like frozen on the inside. So I'm you know, leave it in the sink. And yeah. Of course, everyone's telling me, don't put it in warm water. Don't put it in warm water. Make sure it's you know, lukewarm water. It's like, okay. So
it's the whole way to do it.
So Christmas Day, which is usually hectic because I go all over creation on Christmas Day in years past. I go from
people and stuff.
Oh, yeah. It's just because, you know, family scattered all throughout the area. So usually my Christmas Day experience is I go to my parents for breakfast. We exchange gifts. I go to my father-in-law's. I exchange gifts.
Yeah.
Then we go to my aunt's for dinner. So it's we start in Andorra, go to Manayunk, then go to Conshohocken, and then usually back to East Falls to visit my aunt and uncle.
Progressive Christmas.
Yeah, right? So I'm all over the place. So to answer your question, the long answer to your short question is I first heard about this the next day because I was busy cooking this big meal.
In a way that's good, though. I'm kind of glad for you. I didn't just have to jump right in, especially on Christmas.
Yeah.
I was on a Zoom call with I'm the baby of five.
Oh.
I have two brothers who live in Chattanooga and one who lives in Nashville. I may send him a text, see if I can get a little insight into things. He's probably traveled the road that the explosion happened on at some point.
This was big. I mean, it started a few weeks back when I was downtown in Dilworth Park. I'm just like, man, this truck circling and the same recording coming out of it, that scared me. And then to top it all off in Nashville, this recording warning people to stay away that a bomb is going to go off. Then Petula Clark's Downtown plays.
Right.
And then the bomb goes off.
Yeah. My brother his Zoom connection kept cutting out. And that's how I found out. Not until Sunday, where I was kind of off the grid a bit. And I'm like, John, you keep breaking up. He's like, I can't see. He's like, well, we lost all our Wi-Fi. And he's in Chattanooga.
Hmm.
And two and a half hours from Nashville.
I wonder, I mean, this blast, if it hit AT&T, I think communications were disrupted.
Yeah.
I think I saw a story that said they were up and running by Sunday night. But it very well could have been affected because I heard all the way down to Alabama there was service outages.
Yeah, their regular stuff was out. Their landline was out. And then their Wi-Fi was spotty but working some. So, and that's how everybody finds out things in different ways, you know. And anyhow. Well, quite a thing.
So that was quite an event that happened on Christmas Day in Nashville, Tennessee. Of course, love and prayers to everybody down that way. And I'm very glad to hear that there were only three people injured. Nobody died except the person who bombed it. And when we come back, six officers called heroes for saving lives before the Nashville explosion on Christmas morning. Very good story.
I'm with you. I thought terrorism, it was the first thought I had.
It's
still developing, right?
It's still developing. We're learning more, and it's out there. I see on Fox News now the body cam video of the Nashville bombing released. So I'm guessing that the body cam from one of the police officers. 610-850-0990, 610-850-0990, if you'd like to reach me. I'm Fast Eddie Chiazzo. We'll be right back on Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer. Welcome back. Philadelphia's Morning Answer with Chris Stegall. Fast Eddie Chiazzo filling in for the great Chris Stegall today. Tim DeMoss on the other side of the glass. Thank you.
Happy to be here.
So, six officers called heroes for saving lives before the Nashville explosion on Christmas morning. Officers ran into danger on Friday morning as they helped evacuate residents before a large explosion rocked the downtown. Nashville police fire crews responded to reports of shots fired in the area. Wow. That was on 2nd Avenue and Commerce Street. No, that's when they noticed the RV outside the AT&T building just before 6 a.m. Officers and witnesses heard a recording from the RV giving the dire warning, evacuate now, there is a bomb, is in the vehicle and will explode. You and I might run away from that. I can tell you I would if I saw an RV sitting in the middle of a city street of a major metropolitan city. Yes, I would run for the hills, I can assure you. But at least six Nashville police officers acted quickly to start evacuating people from nearby buildings. They jumped right into action. An officer also alerted the department's hazardous devices unit, which was en route. Mayor John Cooper called them heroes at a Friday evening news conference. They ran, quote, they ran to danger with uncertain outcomes ahead of them. They were responsible for so many innocents being saved, he said. Metro Police Chief John Drake celebrated the work his officers did to evacuate nearby buildings when the situation was fluid and uncertain. So these six officers were heroes, and I see them making the media rounds on all the different cable news channels this morning. So does that mean that we can finally add police officers back to the frontline workers, first responders signs that we see all over, you know, all over here, all over the suburbs? Remember when the pandemic began, everybody was a frontline worker, you know, thank you, frontline heroes. Thank you, frontline heroes. So understand that this includes people who work in the liquor store. Obviously, we hear a lot about the nurses and doctors on the front lines. And of course, I thank you for what you're doing. And in that sense, it's God's work, and you're saving us throughout the pandemic as our first responders. But for some reason, at some point along the way, police officers were then removed from the big thank you outreach going on that was, you know, in radio commercials, TV commercials. We were always thanking frontline workers. Well, police officers are frontline workers. So do we see them back on the signs now? Are we going to see the flyover dedicated to them again? Somehow I think not. In a year where a narrative, and the left has denied this all across the board because it wasn't polling well, defund the police. It's a real movement, people. It is a real movement. You and I know it is. But I wonder if that was in the back of the mind of the mayor as he's praising these heroes who ran towards the blast, starting evacuating people. That's what first responders do. So can we please add police officers back to the signs that people are putting in the yard? Now, I notice there are a lot of Biden signs, you know, that strew the lawns out here in the suburbs. And they have, oh, thank you, first responders. Stay safe, mask up, stay calm. Well, guess what? Six officers in Nashville today, thankfully, are known as heroes. They are. Officer Brenna Hosey, 4-year veteran. Officer James Llewellyn, a 3-year veteran. Officer Michael Sipos, S-I-P-O-S, a 16-month veteran. Sorry, Michael, if I butchered your last name. Officer Amanda Topping, 21-month veteran. Officer James Wells, 21-month veteran. And Sergeant Timothy Miller, who's been with the department for 11 years. Unbelievable. Now, one of the officers mentioned, Officer Brenna Hosey, she actually made news last year. Hosey helped rescue a coyote that found its way into Music City Center during an event last January. So that's...
Who was that?
That is Officer Brenna Hosey. She's a four-year veteran of the Nashville Police.
I wonder if Brenna, in her downtime, could swing by the radio station here because there have been some foxes roaming around lately.
Yes.
And last night, I was here late last night, they were howling, like, in a kind of weird way. So, Brenna, come on up. Come on up. We'll take you.
Yeah, well... And I'm just glad to see a positive news story.
Absolutely.
You know, it's not a defund the police. And you know what? If you're printing signs that you're thanking frontline workers, add police back to the signs. DeBruno brothers that were offering lunches or, free meals. And then they stopped doing that after, the George Floyd protests. Can we please thank a police officer? So, Tim, I'm sorry. I'm excited.
You should be.
I'm excited that the officers were praised here.
I'm with you. Sometimes praise also doesn't come as naturally as criticism, right? even to do a good news story, sometimes people want to hear the negative stuff. But I think people, especially if you've got something like that, they want to know about it. It's good. So that's great stuff.
Your opinion matters. Take the poll at 990theanswer.com. Sponsored by Stillman Volvo. Four generations in Westchester. Online at stillmanvolvocars.com.
I love this song.
I was thinking the same thing. This is just such a good song on so many levels.
It is. And I think it's better than the original, the Darius Rucker remake.
Yeah. Love it.
Fast Eddie Chiazzo filling in for the great Chris Stegall today. Very special Philadelphia's Morning Answer. 610-850-0990. 610-850-0990. I'm going to ask the American people might be receiving a check for $600 or they might be receiving a check for $2,000 per individual. How will you spend that check? So this is the second coronavirus relief package. It's meant to stimulate the economy. Now, we're going to unpack a lot of this when Steve Moore comes on the program at 8 o'clock. But I just want to know, 610-850-0990, 610-850-0990, how do you plan on spending your $600 or your $2,000? Do you plan on stimulating the economy?
Where did that land as far as the $600 versus $2,000? Is it still up in the air?
It is still up in the air, and it is Republicans in the Senate who will be holding it up.
Really?
So the Democrats, of course, you get money and you get money and you get money.
Money for everyone.
They're just like, oh, baby, Trump, 2 G's. That's what we've been talking about. Let's do it.
Yeah.
So as you know.
Well, yeah. Go ahead.
Trump going into the Christmas holiday.
Yes, I saw this on Facebook. I could not believe it.
Yes, Trump going into the Christmas holiday. So last week you heard from Congressman Tulsi Gabbard on the program. She was like, wow, this is like almost 6,000 pages, and then it only leaves $600 for the American people? Well, wouldn't you know it, President Trump thought the same thing and did something that I have never ever heard a president of the United States do. He listed the pork in the bill.
That's crazy.
Throughout the summer, Democrats cruelly blocked COVID relief legislation in an effort to advance their extreme left-wing agenda and influence the election. Then, a few months ago, Congress started negotiations on a new package to get urgently needed help to the American people. It's taken forever. However, the bill they are now planning to send back to my desk is much different than anticipated. It really is a disgrace. For example, among the more than 5,000 pages in this bill, which nobody in Congress has read because of its length and complexity. It's called the COVID relief bill, but it has almost nothing to do with COVID. This bill contains $85.5 million for assistance to Cambodia, $134 million to Burma, $1.3 billion for Egypt and the Egyptian military, which will go out and buy almost exclusively Russian military equipment, $25 million for democracy and gender programs in Pakistan, $505 million to Belize, Costa Rica, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, Nicaragua, and Panama, $40 million for the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C., which is not even open for business, $1 billion for the Smithsonian, and an additional $154 million for the National Gallery of Art. Likewise, these facilities are essentially not open. $7 million for reef fish management, $25 million to combat Asian carp, $2.5 million to count the number of amberjack fish in the Gulf of Mexico, a provision to promote the breeding of fish in federal hatcheries,
what?
$3 million in poultry production technology, $2 million to research the impact of down trees, $566 million for construction projects at the FBI. The bill also allows stimulus checks for the family members of illegal aliens, allowing them to get up to $1,800 each.
Whoa.
This is far more than the Americans are given. Despite all of this wasteful spending and much more, the $900 billion package provides hardworking taxpayers with only $600 each in relief payments. And not enough money is given to small businesses, and in particular restaurants, whose owners have suffered so grievously. They were only given a deduction for others to use in business their restaurant for 2 years. This two-year period must be withdrawn, which will allow the owners to obtain financing and get their restaurants back in condition. Congress can terminate it at a much later date, but 2 years is not acceptable. It's not enough. Congress found plenty of money for foreign countries, lobbyists, and special interests while sending the bare minimum to the American people who need it. It wasn't their fault. It was China's fault, not their fault. I am asking Congress to amend this bill and increase the ridiculously low $600 to $2,000 or $4,000 for a couple. I am also asking Congress to immediately get rid of the wasteful and unnecessary items from this legislation and to send me a suitable bill, or else the next administration will have to deliver a COVID relief package, and maybe that administration will be me.
Ooh.
And we will get it done. Thank you very much.
I have no doubt that President Trump would get it done. But when have you ever heard a United States president call on the Congress and say, look at all this crap that's inside the second coronavirus relief package?
It's like listing the ingredients in a bag of chips. Look at all the stuff in there.
Yes.
That was in there.
I was shocked, and I can't believe that he did that. It is very important. Now, we hear over and over about all the crap that the Republicans and the Democrats put into bills when they're, you know, compromising on something that they want, the compromises they have to make. This was the first time ever I heard a U.S. president call it out. Gender studies in Pakistan.
Well, somebody's got to do it. Might as well be us.
It is unbelievable. So the American people will be left with either $600 for an individual, $1,200 per couple, or $2,000 for an individual. So how will you be spending that money? 610-850-0990, 610-850-0990. I'm Eddie Caiazzo. We're online at 990theanswer.com. Back here, Philadelphia's Morning Answer with Chris Stegall, Fast Eddie Caiazzo in the chair today for the great Chris Stegall, Tim DeMoss, producing on the other side of the glass.
I like these music bits.
I'm all about the music.
I know.
It's always a variety.
We both are, the DJ thing. We'll get into that later, I'm sure.
We will. Oh.
Stimulus money-wise.
That reminds me of something. But first, let's go to Norm in Jenkintown.
Morning, Eddie.
Good morning, Norm.
Two things I wanted to bring up. First, I wanted to compliment the network you work for, Salem Radio, with Chris's show, Sebastian Gorka's show, and Charlie Kirk's show. Three best shows on radio, number one.
Thank you.
The second thing is about the what I would spend my stimulus money on. I would spend it on insurance for car repair. I have a rather old car, and I think that would be, a good way of spending the money. And by the way, you just mentioned something about music, bumper music or whatever.
Yes.
I'm going to give you a suggestion from an artist you probably never heard of, Steve Grace, and the song is Crazy Road of Life. And if you ever chance to play it, listen to it. It's great, great bumper music.
All right, Norm.
All righty.
Thanks very much. So he's spending it on his insurance payment. Not a bad choice.
I've written it down just so you don't have to think about it.
And right now I wanted to play an interview that Chris did just before he left. You know, there's so much negativity, so much negative news, but this is a good interview. This is fun. It incorporates football, race, a lot of tough discussions that we have to have on race. Bo Dean Sanders, local football legend for Villanova, spent some time with Chris, and I wanted you to hear it.
Came across a great new read. This is one of those, if you want to kind of change the topic that's going on in the news cycle right now from COVID to politics, I think this is one of those, you know, a story of an American who has, there's so many wonderful stories of Americans who have quite literally made their own success, made their own way, and have told the story, and I think are real inspirations for others. And my next guest is just such a gentleman. He's authored a brand new book called Race Against Race. Bo Dean Sanders is name and joins me now. Bodine, such a pleasure to have you on the show. Good morning.
Good morning, Chris. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
The subhead, by the way, My Journey of Diversity and Inclusion Through Sports. For people who aren't familiar with you and your work, I know maybe in Philadelphia, if you're a Villanova fan and you know your Villanova history, people might know you. But for people that are listening and may not know kind of your progress through sport, maybe take us through it, would you?
Absolutely. I grew up in Jacksonville, Florida, as most Americans who love sports, as a little chocolate morsel, watching sports on TV, fell in love with football versus the other sport. And that's the sport I imagined playing when I got older. And had the opportunity to play junior high, they call that middle school now, football, then on to high school. And after high school, was not one of those kids that had the opportunity to earn a scholarship to play and continue my career playing college football. But then I was thrown a Hail Mary with the blessings of and the hard work of a couple of family members and friends, was able to attend the oldest HBCU in the country, which is right here in our backyard, Cheney University. So I began my academic and athletic career at Cheney and was having a great time, enjoyed it, but there was always this burning feeling to compete on a higher level. And that opportunity arose because Cheney, you know, let me backtrack a little bit, Cheney's division had a Division II football program.
Mm-hmm.
An opportunity came up where I got lucky, was offered an opportunity to travel a few miles to some school called Villanova that I'd never heard of for a party, went to the party, fell in absolutely in love with the folks at the party, at the university, spent a couple of days there, and was told that they were starting their football program up again because they dropped it 3 years prior. And so the opportunity presented itself, and I took the opportunity to transfer during the summer and got accepted, and boom, I landed at Villanova. So I talk about it's a binary narrative. I talk about, you know, my determination and dream of playing D1 football, which Villanova ended up being Division I AA. But in that journey, I had an opportunity to learn about the social development and being on a campus I was unfamiliar with. So, in other words, I grew up in an all-black environment in Jacksonville, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
I had all-black coaches in junior high and senior high. I had all-black coaches at Cheney. And then I get to Villanova, and there's one black coach.
Yeah, it's pretty lily white. I don't know if it still is, but it certainly would have been then, for sure, right?
So, and this is in the 80s, right?
Yeah.
So I had to evolve. Right. I had to learn. I had to navigate. I had to adapt. And so not only did I learn how to become a better football player at that higher level, I also had to learn how to evolve and accept my new environment.
Yes.
Because I didn't grow up in that environment. Right. I grew up where my high school, not only did I have all black coaches, I grew up in an all black neighborhood. I grew up attending an all-black high school. So then I get to Villanova, you know, then I go to Cheney, then I get to Villanova. So, you know, the lessons learned is absolutely critical in today's world. It's relevant, right? How can we get along? How can we come together to build great relationships? Not all relationships are going to be great. Some, you know, we have scales.
Right.
Some folks you're just friends with, some people you're great friends with, and then some people you call your brother and your sister. And they may not be your biological brother and sister, but you have that kind of relationship. How do you get there?
Mm-hmm.
For folks who watch sports on TV, when folks watch sports on TV, and even if you, Chris, you interview a pro athlete in Philadelphia, and you have your segment, you have your time slot, when you interview the athlete and you ask the athlete, let's say you ask Ben Simmons or you ask, you know, one of the great hockey players or baseball players or football players, you know, how's it going? How's practice going? How's the team going this season? And one of those players will say, well, my brother so-and-so-and-so. And people see that and they get a good feeling. You know, I'll use Chris Long and Malcolm Jenkins as an example.
Mm-hmm.
They refer to each other as brothers. People know that Chris Long is white. People know Malcolm Jenkins is black. So when they see Chris Long or Malcolm Jenkins say, my brother, we did this together, that's a good feeling.
Yes. So
because it's a five-minute segment, people don't get an opportunity to see how they became brothers.
Great, great point. Bodine Sanders is with us. His book is Race Against Race. I was actually just reading yesterday, and I don't know why I went back to refresh my memory on it. Earlier in the year, you know, there was the talk of the Black Lives Matter efforts that were coursing through the NFL specifically, and then the Eagles locker room and the discussions there. And I don't remember which player of color on the Eagles said it, but it was an interesting quote. He was complimenting Carson Wentz for Carson Wentz's honesty about it, which was, look, man, I'm from North Dakota. I mean, just as you said, Bodine, you grew up with, you know, black coaches and black players and nothing but black folks around you. Carson Wentz, you know, I'm same with me for the most part. I'm from Missouri. But Carson Wentz even more so. It doesn't get whiter than North Dakota. And so, you know, Carson Wentz said, look, it's not even a matter of not being curious or not caring. I don't know. Like, there's a lot I don't even, it's a different language to me. And so my point in bringing it up is the story kind of read like this particular, I don't remember which one of the players it was, said they gave Carson a lot of credit for just coming to the table and saying, I'm from another planet. You know, let's talk. That's half the battle right there, right?
That is absolutely half the battle. And in my memoir, I guide people through my evolution, how I was able to learn. And in order to do that, number one, you have to listen, you have to communicate, and you have to build trust.
Mm-hmm.
The foundation of sport. And in order for Carson and his teammate to get to that positive outcome, he needed to make that statement. His teammate needed to make that statement that he made. So now they're on the right path. They're staying in their lane, and they're moving forward. And that's how it goes. I mean, you know this. You've heard this.
Sure.
You probably was an athlete in your day.
Moderately. Not a good one, but yes.
Hey, it doesn't matter. I wasn't great either. That's why I didn't play pro. Athletes spend more time together during the season than they do with their friends and family.
Yeah.
So just by nature, you have no choice but to get to know each other and build a relationship. It's not forced on you.
Mm-hmm.
It happens organically, right? You go to training table, you go to the weight room, let me speak from a college perspective. You go to the weight room, you go to practice, you go to the training table, meaning you eat, you go to the library for your study session. So you're spending more time together than you are with your average classmates who are not student athletes. So you're building relationships. You're listening to music, you're eating food, and those are the two easy, low-hanging fruit opportunities to have comfortable conversations.
And that was some of Chris's interview with a good friend of mine, Bo Dean Sanders, legendary Villanova football player. Race against race, and you just heard it there, an easy way to, kind of get in these tough conversations about race, grab onto that low-hanging fruit. If you're on the same team, if you're on a, I think sport, it honestly relates to athletes the best, you can sit across from your teammate and start those conversations.
Well,
so
you know who's going to be able to talk about that a little later on this morning.
Yes.
Gary G. Cobb joined.
G. Cobb, that's right. He will be on at 8:30.
Yeah, former Eagle and NFL star.
Former Philadelphia Eagle.
That's right. That's good about it. And, as I'm listening to that interview, I'm reminded of how many great things, all these interviews this year. You guys have done a great job, you and Chris, this year.
Thank you.
And I know that you have a couple shows planned to count things down this week, or later on in the week, right? So just so folks are aware, that's in store, like kind of a look back at the year.
Yeah, there's going to be, it's the greatest hits, the greatest interviews of 2020, the next 3 days here on Philadelphia's AM 990 The Answer. Yeah. All of Philadelphia's Morning Answer with Chris DeGaulle's big interviews, including his most recent heated one with Pat Toomey, which I know you enjoyed.
Yeah.
And so much more, President Donald Trump. We'll
Didn't
be making
that,
an appearance.
I remember Chris talking about how I think he's only supposed to have like 10 minutes and he managed to squeeze 15 or 18 out of it.
Literally, because Trump can talk. And yeah, that interview is literally 16, 17 minutes long. And it's funny because I'm getting a text message from the White House. They're just like, okay, he's got to go. Okay, he's got to go. It's just like, well,
Chris,
he's
like, I just one more question for you.
Yeah, just. So a lot of these great interviews will be played over the next 3 days and you'll be able to enjoy them.
Yeah.
It's kind of a year. He even speaks to Dr. Fauci. He talks to Fauci back there in March.
That's right.
But I'm still asking the question, how are you going to spend $600 or $2,000? How are you going to spend it?
You live here. He lives here.
Thank you for helping my family and I get through these very strange times.
Can I just say how much I am enjoying your new show? Really good. You are loved.
I appreciate you, Chris. You're doing a great, great service to Delaware Valley.
Yes, and by the way, what you all know, but most people don't know, unlike the African-American community, with notable exceptions, the Latino community is an incredibly diverse community with incredibly different attitudes about different things.
This is Philadelphia's Morning Answer with Chris DeGaulle on Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer.
Wow. There's President-elect Joe Biden. He's a diverse individual. Knows a lot about multiculturalism and things. Anyway, good morning. Welcome to Philadelphia's Morning Answer with Chris DeGaulle. Fast Eddie Chiasso with you this morning, 610-850-0990, 610-850-0990 to reach me. And I am asking the question, whether you get $600 or $2,000, how are you going to spend it? Will that help with some of the purchases made at Christmas time, like Tim's coffee maker? Tim DeMoss, by the way, on the other side of the glass.
Morning, man.
Good morning, and thank you for the coffee.
You're welcome. That was the extra large split in two, since you didn't have yours. I thought before I took my first sip, I should make sure you have what you need to keep yourself going. We usually each have our own extra larges.
We do.
So this is going to have to get us to the finish line, and then 901, zooming up the street.
And Chris usually makes, sometimes he'll make a full pot of coffee, and he'll come in with a 24-ounce. So it's... This, you know, Philadelphia's Morning Answer runs on coffee.
Without a doubt.
So again, $600 or $2,000. House passes stimulus check boost as Republicans splinter. This from Politico. House vetoed overwhelmingly Monday to roughly triple pandemic-related stimulus checks, but it may amount to more of a political maneuver than an effort to ultimately deliver additional relief. Mm-hmm. 275 to 134, the vote that came with a few dozen Republicans joining nearly all Democrats to back this increase, which was first demanded by President Donald Trump last week as he threatened to kill a massive aid package. Don't you love Politico? Threatened to kill. What the hell has Congress been doing for the last 8, 9 months. Now, we know Pelosi waited. This is what kills me. It takes the president to come out and be like, guys, what is in this thing? This is stupid. This is what you've spent all this time on. So, yes, you tune into all the mainstream media outlets. And yes, they're killing Donald Trump and Republicans. Now they're going to blame all of this on the turtle. This is moving forward. The turtle, Mitch McConnell, you watch. He's going to be blamed for completely falling flat and not delivering coronavirus stimulus for the, well, I guess maybe not 8, 9 months. We had the CARES Act early in the year. So I guess we're looking at 6 months. Anyway.
What did you think of that, by the way?
The CARES Act.
Yeah.
I know that was a big compromise, and I know that it most definitely helped people in need and business owners specifically.
Sure.
At that time, yes, we were pushing back on reopening because obviously the best stimulus anyone can give is to reopen the economy.
Right.
That's the best stimulus. But
yeah, because I mean, there are some people who think that there shouldn't have been any distribution, and then others felt like, well, there was good that there was something. And are you just throwing money out there but not really helping the big. Is it a big Band-Aid? Is it a necessary Band-Aid?
Well, let me ask you, Tim. I mean, you are a business owner.
I am, in addition to working here.
Yes.
So I DJ weddings and parties. I've done that for 30 years. And I have a family of 5, and I have a daughter who's disabled and a lot of responsibilities. So when Corona kicked in, I guess it was early March, you know, that affected some things. I had a wedding in April. I had 3 in May and June, and slowly but surely they all ping-ponged to August. They thought stuff would be better by then.
Sure.
Then all the August weddings went to 2021 instead, and then one of my August 2021 weddings just called me last week and said, "Well, we got married and we're not having the party and we'd like our deposit back." So that's real.
Yes, it is.
And
that's lost income, lost revenue completely.
At minimum, delayed. I still have other weddings next year. I don't know if they're going to actually happen or not. But long story short, it was real. And I have a lot of medical situations going on with our family. So I've done some rideshare stuff that's helped. But for a while, I wasn't sure I should go out. In the first few weeks of coronavirus, I really was like, I can't, even though I need the money, I can't justify maybe bringing coronavirus back because our daughter was 14, very disabled.
There was a lot of uncertainty then.
Right. But after a while,
I
was like, I think we're going to be okay from what I'm hearing. So I've eventually ventured out, and I needed to do it. But so I was glad that there was something because my DJ business, literally, as it worked out, the money I was able to get literally matched what I lost. I'm still going to have to pay some of this back, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Right? Or a lot of it.
The loan. There are a couple PPP loan.
PPP I got. There was the EIDL I was able to get also.
Okay.
So it fit my situation and felt fair because my opinion on this, I think a lot has to do with you and Krista has shared, obviously you want to take coronavirus seriously, but there's so much about this that's backwards about why everyone else is being held hostage to, if you're concerned, stay home or protect yourself, and no one will make fun of you for doing that at all.
There's right? a way to reopen
right.
safely.
Correct. Right.
There is a way to protect vulnerable populations. The CARES Act came at a time when Americans needed it. You just gave a story of your DJ business. Right. I also am a DJ on the weekends.
Yes.
All of my weddings, except three, were pushed to next year and beyond. Now, what that does is that fills dates that you would otherwise have open
sure.
for more weddings.
It's going to be interesting more. To see. Right. You're going to have to say no to somebody because your date you committed to somebody this year you had a relationship with, already have a deposit from. Now you take a date next year. Someone books you for that date. Sorry, I'm already taken. Now you've lost that job because you can't do it. You have to ride with it. There's nothing you can do about it. But
And that's the thing. So how did I feel about the first coronavirus relief package, the CARES Act? I do think it helped. I can't say that I read the entire CARES Act, so I don't know some of the worst pork that was in that bill.
Yeah.
But the Democrats, I know, got $25 million for the Kennedy Center the first time around.
They want more this time around.
Yeah, I think it's $45 million this time around that they put into this bill. President Donald Trump, again, did something I've never, ever seen or heard a U.S. president do, and he actually listed it for us. Tim, could you play that again, please?
Democrats cruelly blocked COVID relief legislation in an effort to advance their extreme left-wing agenda and influence the election. Then, a few months ago, Congress started negotiations on a new package to get urgently needed help to the American people. It's taken forever. However, the bill they are now planning to send back to my desk is much different than anticipated. It really is a disgrace. For example, among the more than 5,000 pages in this bill, which nobody in Congress has read because of its length and complexity, it's called the COVID Relief Bill, but it has almost nothing to do with COVID. This bill contains $85.5 million for assistance to Cambodia, $134 million to Burma, $1.3 billion for Egypt and the Egyptian military, which will go out and buy almost exclusively Russian military equipment, $25 million for democracy and gender programs in Pakistan, $505 million to Belize, Costa Rica, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, Nicaragua, and Panama, $40 million for the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C., which is not even open for business, $1 billion for the Smithsonian, and an additional $154 million for the National Gallery of Art. Likewise, these facilities are essentially not open. $7 million for reef fish management, $25 million to combat Asian carp, $2.5 million to count the number of amberjack fish in the Gulf of Mexico, a provision to promote the breeding of fish in federal hatcheries, $3 million in poultry production technology, $2 million to research the impact of downed trees, $566 million for construction projects at the FBI. The bill also allows stimulus checks for the family members of illegal aliens, allowing them to get up to $1,800 each. This is far more than the Americans are given. Despite all of this wasteful spending and much more, the $900 billion package provides hardworking taxpayers with only $600 each in relief payments. And not enough money is given to small businesses, and in particular restaurants.
Thank you, Mr. President, for pointing out all the crap that's gone into this bill. And I can't wait to talk to Steve Moore at 8 o'clock. I don't quite understand how they're able to do this.
I guess, I don't know about you. I don't know a lot about it. I'm guessing some of it you would expect to come on a bill because they're all in one place to be able to pass things.
Mm-hmm.
But after he listed all that, I'm like, so where's the COVID part?
Right.
It is called the COVID relief bill. Right,
right.
So.
But it also is to fund the government as well. So that doesn't shut down, you know, God forbid. So we need to throw everything into that. I did have a note on Twitter. If it's $2,000 a person, this person's looking at $10,000 for a family of five. He'd use $6,000 to $8,000 on a decent used truck to ensure snow travel to and from work. Donate $2,000 to local charity.
Wow.
Very nice. And save the rest. He's against being paid by the government with his own money. That's a father. That's a family of five. And someone I know to be an Air Force veteran as well.
Wow.
So how are you going to spend your $600 or $2,000? 610-850-0990, 610-850-0990. We're online at 990theanswer.com.
Hi there, it's Chris Stigall. I don't have to tell you this has been a challenging, tough, grueling, sometimes dispiriting year. But look, the story of the late, great Herman Cain is one that will leave you inspired and lift you up. I know that was the case for my wife, Christine, and me when we sat down to watch Whore to CEO, The Incredible Journey of Herman Cain. Herman was a beloved political figure, public figure. He loved the Lord. He was the former CEO of Godfather's Pizza. He ran for president. He hosted a successful talk radio show. He loved this country. He had a thankful heart. He believed in the power of personal responsibility, hard work, and a good education. From poor to CEO, The Incredible Journey of Herman Cain. You can watch this for yourself at SalemNow.com. Go to SalemNow.com, and when you download it, if you enter the promo code Philadelphia, you'll save 20% on it. This is a film that will make you feel great about this country and make you feel great about the spirit of the holidays. From poor to CEO, available now at SalemNow.com. That's SalemNow.com. Use that promo code Philly and save 20%.
Imagine doing one thing that could give you an entirely different perspective about your place in the world. I assume you would feel it was worth it. Dennis Prager here inviting you to join me for a 10-day Stand with Israel tour through the land of Israel, October 2021. Come with me to get firsthand insight into Israel's fascinating past and promising future. I'll introduce you to the geopolitical, economic, and spiritual dynamics of a truly remarkable nation. Walk the ancient temple steps, sail on the Sea of Galilee, and so many more unforgettable moments. Return home inspired, renewed, and empowered. If you've ever dreamed of seeing Israel, this is your opportunity. With expert guides and important lectures at key sites, we'll be together in the comfort and safety of luxurious accommodations the whole time. Join me for a life-changing adventure to give you a renewed sense of purpose.
To join Dennis Prager and Mike Gallagher for a trip of a lifetime to Israel, all you have to do is search the keyword STAND at 990theanswer.com or click on the Stand with Israel banner at our website for all the details. Enter the keyword STAND or click the Stand with Israel banner at 990theanswer.com today.
What's hot for business this week at Staples?
Small prices, big savings.
Help your business go big with amazing prices on great tech, plus the services to help set up and protect your new PC.
And now, during Staples' PC clearance event, save up to $180 on select Lenovo PCs, like the Flex 2-in-1 laptop with Intel i5 processor.
Shop in-store or pick up curbside. And visit staples.com/protection to learn about keeping your computer safe.
Ends 1-2-21 while supplies last. Curbside available in most stores.
Is the cost of finishing the basement worth the benefit of some peace and quiet?
When questions find you, Merrill Edge Self-Directed Investing can help you find answers with personalized planning tools and insights to help you get where you want to go, even if it's just downstairs. Merrill, a Bank of America company. Visit MerrillEdge.com/withinreach to get started today.
Investing involves risk. Merrill Lynch, Pierce, Fenner, and Smith Incorporated. Registered broker-dealer, member SIPC. Investment products are not FDIC insured, are not bank guaranteed, and may lose value.
You can listen anytime to Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer, on the mobile app, on 990theanswer.com, and now on radio.com.
Welcome back. Philadelphia's Morning Answer with Chris Stigall. Fast Eddie Chiazzo with you. Tim DeMoss sitting where I usually sit, in the producer's chair today. Still asking you the question. $600 or $2,000. How are you going to spend it? 610-850-0990. 610-850-0990. Now, this new bill needs, what is it, cooperation. It will take several days to set up a roll call on the vote. A roll call vote on the proposal, and it would need to garner 60 votes, which is a steep path toward approval. Oh, and this is all happening between the holiday break for Congress. I know they, the left has just been out there. Twitter is just a cesspool the last few days. All the pictures, Trump's golfing while people are suffering. Trump's golfing. So it's like, where were the Democrats months ago? Oh, they needed to wait. They needed to wait until after the election. They couldn't have Trump signing another check to the American people, could they? No. You and I know this is every bit as much the Democrats' fault as it is the Republicans. So stop. I'm sorry we're preventing Congress right now from playing golf in their home districts. Sorry about that, guys. But guess what? Congress hasn't missed a paycheck the entire pandemic. Okay? They haven't missed one paycheck. Jill in Bucks County, you're on Philadelphia's Morning Answer. Good morning.
Hey, Fat Daddy. First, I want to thank you. You and Chris have really helped me maintain some sanity through all this garbage.
Oh,
but
thank you, Jill.
Yeah. With regard to this money that is going to be misspent by everybody,
mm-hmm.
I know that I'm really blessed, and I fall just within that range of the people who are going to get it. And I'm going to do the same thing with this money that I did with the last money. I'm going to go to restaurants, and I'm going to tip well.
I'm happy to hear that, because that's exactly what quote-unquote stimulus money is for. And I remember when they did this, what was that, in 08, 09, the first stimulus. To be honest, when I was in that position, I was just getting out of school. I graduated in the worst economy, so I saved that money and used the rest of it to pay bills. So I'm glad to hear you say you will actually be stimulating the economy, the local restaurants, the local places that have been hit so hard during this pandemic. Jill, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
I like that.
Yeah. I mean, that's what stimulus is for. It's,
if you can.
Oh.
We were talking about this yesterday, eh?
Yeah. And did I ever tell you, Tim, I don't know if you ever heard this. Do you know where Tom Wolf gets his data from closing the restaurants?
I don't.
No?
The restaurant industry has been asking to see the data to justify closing indoor dining. What studies, if you are relying on, what studies are they, or what data are you relying on that prove that the transmission rates are high in restaurants and some of the other businesses that are having to close?
Well, I'll ask Dr. Hegan to answer this, but there are studies that we're using from Yale, from Stanford, studies from even Chase Manhattan Bank on their credit card use. I'm not sure I've seen anything that says anything other than when people get together, take their masks off, drink and eat together and are in close quarters, that anything good happens when it comes to the virus. Dr. Hegan, am I missing something there?
No, I mean, there's a number of different studies that are out there, and I can provide the references that I have here, but that's only, you know, the tip of the iceberg in terms of everything that's out there. So there's a lot of studies that have been done and that are continuing to be done, but the evidence overall is fairly clear, I think.
The evidence is clear.
And just a follow-up question, are any of those studies done specifically in Pennsylvania? Do you actually have boots on the ground here of people that are doing the studies in our restaurants?
Good question.
I have not seen, I'll ask Dr. Higa, published studies from Pennsylvania.
I can't think of any studies that have been done specifically in Pennsylvania.
Translated, we sat around and talked about it and decided this is what makes sense to us.
Yes, so Jill, thanks for the call, and you'll be spending it with the restaurants, spending your stimulus check. And yes, it's important. I did get a text message from a friend. It's important to note, if you make more than $75,000 per year as an individual, you don't you don't get this check.
That's right.
So that's an important note. So yeah, you make and $150,000 as a couple.
Right.
Zero. So
well, that's that whole topic of, I love that Jill's answer, but you know, again, some people, they're going to have to just take the money and patch holes, right? They're not going to be stimulating the economy per se. They're just trying to keep up with what they lost.
I have to imagine if you make $75,000 or less in this economy, say you are a restaurant worker or one of these businesses that has been unnecessarily shut down. Think of the gyms. I keep forgetting about the gyms. And I have a friend who owns a gym that texted me the last time I was speaking about this, like, hey, we're shut down too. It's like, I know. But yes, yeah. That's what is going to happen. People, I remember the exact position I was in when the stimulus money, and I can't remember specifically which year it was. I'm sure one of our listeners or folks on Twitter can help me out with this one. But when I received the stimulus money, I literally saved what I could and paid bills with the rest of it. There was no... I didn't take them like, all right, I'm going to go out. I'm going to have a nice dinner. I'm going to do this. I wasn't in that position back then.
The vast majority of the money as well that we received back in the beginning of the year was just to cover gaps and try to make it through till the next thing. You know, as a fellow DJ, we talked about earlier, weddings,
yes.
You and I both do that. I lost about $7,000 the first quarter of the year into the beginning of the summer. Business that was at minimum deferred, if not going to be canceled. That has to come from somewhere, you know, so... I'm just taking money what I get, and it's like, okay, good. I can defer that, and you know, when you go to pay a bill, even online, they're like, COVID hit us pretty hard, so let's, you know, if you need a delay,
if you need
shut
to delay
your power off.
Right.
They're in that like safety mode also.
And the problem is, you and I are in the live entertainment business in DJing, and yes, we're taking dates off our books for next year. There were people who I had delay from March that booked, you know, August, October, and we still weren't open. So when you hear something like that from Governor Tom Wolf, when you hear why and how he is what science he's basing his decision on, when you hear that, that's enraging. That makes me want to throw the headphones and march to Harrisburg. That you cannot provide that answer to the people of Pennsylvania who you've shut down, and now we don't have Chase Manhattan Bank, they have data, we will point to that, Yale and Stanford. What are you talking about?
It's the tip of the iceberg, general blanket. Well, you know, and there's a domino effect, because I know in the wedding business, which affects the venues, because not all venues are just like for big parties. Some are restaurant more themed. People, there's so many things with an event you're trying to plan, because you're wondering, well, grandma wants to come for the wedding, and I don't know if they're going to feel comfortable coming. So there's so many people just keep pushing it back because they're like, I don't know when it's going to be where people will feel comfortable coming or will be allowed at the event. We plan this whole thing, and then the venue changes their mind. Or if the governor changes his mind, right? That's a big one. People, I had a wedding in December, scheduled for December 27th. That would have been yesterday, Sunday. They moved it back to end of October on a Monday because they knew that the rules were going to probably change. And they're like, if we wait till December, we may not get it in, which is exactly what happened. It just occurred to me now. It's exactly what happened.
Yep.
All that uncertainty.
So these venues are shut down. All these people have lost their jobs. Unemployment. Some people have not even received their first unemployment check. And that's another thing that they're charging Trump with over the weekend.
Yeah.
It's the government, especially locally, has failed on every single level. The local government, Pennsylvania, the Commonwealth, they failed. And so has District Attorney Larry Krasner in Philadelphia and Jim Kenney, Baby Huey, the mayor of Philadelphia. He's failed. He just extended the shutdown of indoor dining till January 15th. He slipped that little nice one in as a Christmas gift to the businesses of Philadelphia. Oh, and 489 confirmed homicides in the city. So We'll take a quick commercial break here. We'll do some traffic, but 610-850-0990, 610-850-0990. I'm still looking for how you will spend your $600 or your $2,000 if you qualify. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the lovely leadership in the city of Philadelphia.
Your opinion matters. Take the poll at 990theanswer.com. Sponsored by Stillman Volvo, four generations in Westchester. Online at stillmanvolvocars.com.
This is Sebastian Gorka. Join me this afternoon at 3 on AM 990 The Answer. And thanks for starting your day the right way on Philadelphia's Morning Answer with Chris DeGaulle.
And Chris will be back on January 4th for his next live broadcast the next 3 days. 3 days, the greatest hits, the greatest interviews. You've heard the best ofs that were all relevant to the topics at the time. Now you're going to hear it all from January to close. So very exciting treat for you guys the next 3 days. 610-850-0990, 610-850-0990. We are online at 990theanswer.com. I'm Fast Eddie Chiasso, and I just wanted So I'm getting hit up on Twitter. I'm getting text messages. The Economic Stimulus Act of 2008 is what I was thinking of. And then another, just to some of the topics we've covered. We've talked about the bombing in Nashville on Christmas Day. Do have someone on Twitter. If you want to hit me up on Twitter, it's at Eddie Chiasso. That at EDDIECAIAZZO. And another note on Twitter, though there was a warning prior to detonation, which I think we can all be grateful for, given what happened, only three people were hurt, thank God. It was definitely a terrorist attack. There is no other way to classify it.
Your name would be interesting in Wheel of Fortune, by the way.
My name, Eddie Chiasso.
You couldn't play. You have to buy all the vowels. You have seven vowels in your name.
Wow. That's good vowel knowledge.
And two Z's. That's worth a lot of money.
Asking the question this morning, we are going to have Steve Moore coming up at 8 o'clock. We're going to have Gary G. Cobb at 8:30. But a lot of questions about this new economic stimulus, coronavirus relief, whatever the heck we're calling this second one. The CARES Act was the first one. The ones that the Democrats wanted to push that was like $3 trillion. That was the HEROES Act. Oh, how appropriate. I believe the Republicans that they were trying to pull, which was, I think, $1 trillion, was the HEALS Act. So I'm asking you, whether it's $600 or $2,000, how are you going to spend that stimulus money? Have someone that's going to pay off their insurance for the year so far and someone who's going to go out and spend it on the restaurants, which is very noble and much needed at this time. So how many times this year has someone said to you, stay safe? I'll see you later now. Stay safe. This phrase has replaced sincerely at the bottom of every informal email I receive nowadays. Who are the people that say this phrase to you to close a conversation? Mostly leftists, right? People who pray at the Church of COVID. People who hang on to their leaders' every word about locking down, like Governor Tom Wolf and his Chase Manhattan Bank credit card data. These folks welcome it. They want the governor, the mayor, the health secretary. These people not only want their lives to be ruled by these dictators, but they want the government intervening in the lives of you and I as well. These folks, they pray at the Church of COVID. Say you pray in the Church of COVID and you live in the city of Philadelphia. So what do they mean when they say to you, stay safe? What does that mean if you're a Philadelphian in the city proper? Stay safe from what? Coronavirus? 2,388 deaths and climbing in Philadelphia from coronavirus. Every local news station, every local paper, it's as if the local media is celebrating these numbers. But what goes ignored? What goes unchallenged in the numbers that they provide to you every day. What numbers are you hearing from local media that are largely going ignored? Right now, there are 489 confirmed homicide victims in the city proper. That, according to the Crime Mapper online from the Philly Police Department. Let me say that again. 489 confirmed homicide victims in the city of brotherly love. And that's climbing with 2 days to go. I'm sure there was something that happened overnight. I can give meaning to the phrase, new meaning to this phrase, stay safe. How do I stay safe? As a Philadelphian, can I? How in God's name can these people, especially in the roughest parts of the city, how can they stay safe? How did this happen? These crazy left-wing progressives like District Attorney Larry Krasner, that's how. A weak mayor like Jim Kenney that takes a knee and panders to protesters just before they destroy the city. Who allows people to occupy the city property like the homeless encampment on the parkway without clearing him out like he said he would. That's how this happens. A police commissioner that goes a full 48 hours without a plan to stop the people that want to burn down the city. It's weakness, it's politics, and most of all, it's dangerous. You hear a lot about George Soros. Dems always talk about the Koch brothers and the conservative political donors, but they never take ownership of the massive amounts of money pouring in to local elections like ours in the city of Philadelphia. They never talk about it from the likes of George Soros. The Inquirer reports it, but they do it in passing. $1.7 million sent to Larry Krasner for his DA race in 2017 by George Soros. Now, I mean, Chris actually does this great bit after we get some absurd local news report. I'm a news anchor and I'm reading the news. 30 restaurants in the city have closed for good during the coronavirus pandemic. 489 homicides and counting in the city of Philadelphia in 2020. Oh, we'll have to see where that ends up. Eddie, back to you. That's how you hear it. But when you're a conservative, there's nuance to the story, right? They interject little sprinkles of detail in every story. I mean, I'll never forget, back in 2004, George W. Bush, who the news report would go like this. George W. Bush, who right now has the lowest approval rating in the history of all the U.S. presidents, took his dog for a walk today. Judge so-and-so, a Trump-appointed judge, did something terrible. The Inquirer's editorial board just yesterday, they named U.S. Attorney Bill McSwain, a Trump-appointed U.S. attorney, as a villain of 2020. Someone who, quote, impeded Philadelphia and the region from making progress. The Inquirer says, as coronavirus cases increased, U.S. Attorney William McSwain supported a lawsuit against Philadelphia for implementing sound public health measures. As opioid overdose deaths rose, he filed a lawsuit against Safe House and threatened enforcement if a supervised injection site were to open, even after a federal judge gave his blessing. Hey, Inquirer, even Democrats on city council like Kenyatta Johnson were against the safe injection sites, you dopes. Unlike you, the journalists, Kenyatta Johnson, David O, Bill McSwain, they spoke with the people that live in the actual neighborhoods that these safe injection sites were supposed to be open in. The people loudly said they didn't want them in their neighborhoods. Even Democrat State Senator Tina Tartaglione, she came on this show in March. Spoke with her constituents. Imagine that. She spoke with her constituents and said no to safe injection sites right on this show in March. Safe injection sites, well, they were one of the main platforms of Larry Krasner's campaign. So people using drugs like heroin could shoot up in peace with medical help right on site to assist revive these people when they overdosed. And most of all, make sure these people that use illegal drugs aren't prosecuted. They could get high in peace without the pesky district attorney filing any charges and overcrowding the prisons with harmless heroin addicts who never ever committed a violent crime. Right. Another charge from the Inquirer against U.S. Attorney Bill McSwain, and what makes him a villain that impedes the city's progress? His politicization of any tragedy in Philadelphia to score political points rendered his critiques partisan and spiteful. Well, McSwain tweeted the other day, three of the four men charged with murdering Sergeant Jimmy O'Connor, the police officer in Philadelphia, those three were Hassan Elliott, Bilal Mitchell, and Khalif Sears. They've been ordered detained in federal custody until trial. The fourth has a detention hearing next week. That means no bail, and there's nothing Krasner can do about it. End of the tweet. The Inquirer finds this kind of speech from McSwain partisan and spiteful. Why? Because District Attorney Larry Krasner has a history of letting violent criminals off the hook with short prison sentences and low bail. Even cops are on record saying they're sick and tired of arresting the same damn violent criminals over and over again in the city of Philadelphia. So I ask, is it partisan for U.S. Attorney McSwain to arrest dangerous criminals in the city of Philadelphia when they commit a federal crime and then send them to federal prison? No, it isn't partisan. 489 people murdered in Philly, in the city proper, in 2020. Stay safe. We'll dive into this more. 610-850-0990, 610-850-0990. You can listen online at 990theanswer.com. .748 Philadelphia's Morning Answer with Chris Stegall. I'm Fast Eddie Chiazzo. Looking for how you're going to spend that stimulus money, $600 or $2,000, 610-850-0990, 610-850-0990. Chris in Malvern. Good morning, Chris.
Fast Eddie, good morning. How are you, sir?
Doing well. Very well. About to turn the page on 2020, so I think there's a lot of good food in my future over the next week, so I'm excited about that. How about you?
Well, I'll tell you what. I am a God-fearing American who loves this country and understands the history. And I am saddened that I think we are slowly losing our country. And let me be very specific. When Trump signed this bill, this was a perfect opportunity for him to get up in front of America. I guarantee you 50% of America does not know what's in this bill because they don't even talk about it.
Right.
He should have had a press conference in the Oval Office and had a chart behind him. And the top one, what you just heard, was that illegal aliens are going to get more money in this than Americans are going to get. And then go through and list all these. He had a perfect opportunity to get up in front of America to say this and to say, whatever you think about me, our country is in need. And for these politicians on both sides of the aisle to get up and to start pushing money into these programs that have nothing to do with anything is a disgrace. They should not only be taken out of office. I cannot sign this bill. They play this game all the time. They wait till the last second, and then they start saying all these crazy things. If you don't do this, then we're going to not get unemployment. It's all these games that get played time and time again. He should have been up in front of the country, and I am totally disappointed in him. I was behind him 100%, and that did it. I am incensed.
So, Chris, say he does that. Say he comes out, and instead of releasing a four-minute Twitter video where he lists all the crap that's in the bill. You wanted him to do a full-on press conference in front of the nation, like where all the news cameras were there. That's what you wanted?
That's exactly what I wanted, and I want him. I wanted him to have that press conference and not tell anybody what it was about. To get up and say, the president's coming on for some important information. Everybody needs to tune in at 9 o'clock, and not tell anybody what it was about. So when you start saying this, all of these, the MSNBC, the CNN,
right,
will have to show it. This was a perfect opportunity, because even people that don't like Trump would be disgusted with the amount of money that they're taking out of our pockets to give to these countries and organizations to build border walls in other countries.
Mm-hmm.
All of this information, it's a disgrace. And they just don't, both Republicans and Democrats, any Republican that voted for this bill should be just taken out of office. They are stewards for us. We are a representative republic. We are not a democracy. We hire them to take care of our day-to-day needs. Would you sign a 20-page, let alone a 5,500-page mortgage document, sign your name to it without reading it?
Definitely not.
What do they do all day? That's their job. They put a 5,500-page bill out there. None of them read it, and we hire them to watch over our day-to-day activities, and they don't do that.
Chris, I understand your frustration. So are you with, and Chris, thank you for the call. So should Trump have gone out guns blazing and had a big press conference to address this bill?
Has he ever done something like that where he had a press conference where they did not know really what it was about or even hinted at?
I couldn't tell you.
It's an interesting
twist. I don't know if he's ever done that. I know what was starting to happen to him, even during coronavirus press briefings, most recently as well,
yeah,
networks were cutting away from the coverage.
Right.
They were, and then, oh my gosh, I saw Brian Williams, you know, the most honest reporter in all of news, who was, you know, getting shot at in Iraq.
Yes.
Brian Williams, yes. Even him, they pulled, I saw, where did I see this? I wish I could find the clip. They pull away from an actual press briefing on coronavirus, and the president just said something incorrect there. Now they're doing play by play on what's happening at the news conference.
Wow.
Can you imagine if they did this to Saint Obama? Can you imagine if they interrupted that man when he was addressing the nation?
Yeah. Well, I think some of this stuff has to do with, in general, the way the world's so flat and anyone has a voice. Not that it's good that people mm-hmm. have a voice, but literally, there's probably a lack of respect for the office and, in general, certain people, because you can just chime in and you can do that.
So do you agree with Chris? 610-850-0990. Chris from Malvern had said that Trump should have, instead of releasing a 4-minute Twitter video where he listed the pork in the bill. Obviously, Twitter has been censoring conservatives, so who knows how much visibility that's going to have. And, you know, they put the little disclaimer at the bottom of every tweet now. So does Trump come out guns blazing, not give the media any sense of what he's going to talk about, and then do that on a major scale? Does ABC, does CBS, NBC, all leftists, do they pick up? Do they have their cameras set up and ready to go for this story? Do they stay on the president? Very interesting.
Coming up at 8, Steve Moore's on the way, right?
Yes, we do. We have Steve Moore, 8 o'clock. G. Cobb, 8:30. Still want to know how you're going to spend those stimulus checks. 610-850-0990 to talk to me, Fast Eddie. Pleasure being with you this morning. Again, 610-850-0990-990theanswer.com.
You live here. He lives here.
Chris, good morning, man. I'm glad to hear you back on the air.
Hi, I just wanted to know, with all of the factual information you put out and all these positive, upbeat guests, are you considered part of the mainstream media anymore?
But I tell you, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, and you ain't black.
This is Philadelphia's Morning Answer with Chris Stegall on Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer.
Well, a lot from Biden on race relations today. Oof. The multicultural president-elect Joe Biden. Good morning. We're a lot more upbeat than that. This is Fast Eddie Chiasso in for the great Chris Stegall. You're listening to Philadelphia's Morning Answer. Thanks so much, Tim DeMoss, sitting in my chair today. And
pleasure to be here, my friend.
So it is our Tuesday visit on a very, very busy Tuesday. Now, usually this week of news, this is where the headlines are very sparse. This is where news goes to die between Christmas and New Year's. But we have so much to talk about. And it's our weekly visit with Steve Moore, economist at the Heritage Foundation, part of the president's team on reopening the economy, and the show's chief economist, Steve Moore. Steve, good morning.
By the way, you're right. Usually this is a quiet week for me, you know, the week before Christmas and New Year's. And it's been quite a saga of craziness in Washington. And I got to give credit for Trump to really call out Congress for this absurd spending bill. You know, we're now looking at a $3 trillion national debt increase this year. And then Biden's saying he's going to pass another $1 trillion spending bill at the beginning of when he takes over in the White House. It's craziness. You know, so we're passing all these bills on. I hope people don't think that $600 or $2,000 checks of free money. Of course, people are going to have to pay for that. And that's going to be probably your kids and my kids.
And that's one of the first questions I had for you, because it's a question I get asked a lot. We hear about they add trillions and trillions of dollars to the deficit.
Right.
In the future, how will that work? So now they're going to give us what? This is $1 trillion close to in this bill?
Well, this particular bill, there were two bills that were kind of tied together. One was this big pork barrel appropriations bill that had all the money for the foreign aid and the building the wall in Jordan. We can't afford to build a wall in the United States, you know, on the southern border, but we can afford to pay for Jordan to build its walls. And, you know, there's money for gender equity programs and universities with $1 billion endowments are going to get money, and student loan forgiveness and increase in food stamps and all of this stuff. And I think it's reprehensible, actually, that in a time of a health crisis like this, that Congress would use this opportunity to put in spending by lobbyists. By the way, Congress didn't write this bill; the lobbyists did. Right? this is the swamp back in action. And Trump was right, you know, to call them out and said, "Look, this is absurd to be spending all of this money." He made his point. Now he has sent a rescission to Congress to get rid of some of this spending. I think that's probably going nowhere, because Congress wants the money for their favored special interests. I disagree with them on this idea of this $2,000 increase payments to individuals, because, look, the only way, Eddie, that the government can give you $2,000 and take it away from me, right? And
right.
There's no free money. There's no pixie dust in Washington. It's just a redistribution scheme. I mean, the good news, I don't want to be a downer, though, because the good news is the big story, too, is what's happening with the vaccine, that it's rolling out in huge numbers. And in the next couple of months, we're going to have tens of millions of Americans vaccinated, and that's going to change everything. I mean, Joe Biden's going to be inheriting a very strong economy with some real tailwinds in terms of, I think 2021 is if Biden doesn't screw it up, really is going to be a blockbuster year for the economy as we open up our restaurants and stores and bars and offices and we get back to kind of normalcy. So that's the good news. But what we're doing right now is just craziness. I think they must have spiked the eggnog or something.
We're speaking with Steve Moore, economist at the Heritage Foundation, Fox News contributor, and part of the President Trump's team on reopening the economy. And I remember, Steve, one of your past conversations with Chris, with the way that we were trending at that time, this is a few months back, you said that the economy wouldn't really bounce back until probably mid-year, the second quarter of 2021. Will this bill change that?
Yeah, well, no, it's not. Look, that's a great question, and it's. I'm glad you put it that way. I want to be very clear. The stimulus to the economy, ladies and gentlemen, is not all this massive government spending. Government spending doesn't stimulate anything but more government. The stimulus for the economy is the vaccine. That's the reason I've turned optimistic. Is, you know, nobody. I was in the Oval Office with the president back in early October, and it was really kind of an amazing thing. He was talking about how we were going to have this vaccine by before the end of the year, and I just kind of, you know, rolled my eyes a little bit. You know, this president does exaggerate. Yeah. I love the guy, but sometimes he exaggerates on his golf score and so on. And I thought, wow, you know, I thought, wow, you know, how it takes. You know, look, folks, this is a miracle. It really is, Eddie. I mean, it usually takes 5 years to get a vaccine. And we did it in 10 months thanks to Operation Warp Speed and Trump's. And by the way, this was not some kind of massive, you know, $100 billion government program. What Trump did was he got the government out of the way. It's a triumph of capitalism. I was telling Chris this a week or two ago. This was capitalism at its best, where private companies went out and figured out how to do this. It was made in America, as usual. The great inventions always come from the U.S. of A. And so we should be proud of what happened there. And it's going to save tens of millions of lives around the world.
Yep. But then I hear, you know, there's that the left has moved the goalposts. As, you know, once we get the vaccine, we can reopen.
Right.
But then
right.
Philadelphia Mayor Jim Kenney he was supposed to reopen indoor dining here in Philadelphia on January 1st. Now he pushed that back 2 weeks to January 15th. So that's another industry that will have 2 weeks completely of no, you know, business. So they're not going to be able to bring their employees back.
Yeah, I had not heard that story about your mayor in Philadelphia, but think of the absurdity of that. You know, it's like, most restaurants and bars make most of their money between Thanksgiving and New Year's, right? That is the season.
Yep.
So to say, after January 1st, you can open even if they kept it January 1st, thanks a lot. That's when January and February are the slowest months for restaurants, you know. So they're missing out on their peak season. It's like saying you can play baseball in January in Philadelphia. No, you can't.
Right.
You know. So it's crazy to keep these restaurants. And by the way, as you know, that you know these statistics, only about less than 2% of the transmission of the disease happens in restaurants. And you can go to restaurants and do it in a safe way. You can have, you know, 50% capacity, but you can have shifts when people come in. And, you know, the bars, same thing. In many places, I can't speak for there in Philadelphia, a lot of the rules in like California were you could serve drinks until 10 o'clock. Well, anyone who knows anything about a bar, you know, I have two good friends who run bars. They make half their money after 10 o'clock. And by the way, what, the virus only attacks after 10 p.m.? I mean, I don't even get the logic of that. Do you?
Oh, no. And one of our Democrat heroes here locally, Dr. Valerie R. Cush, she's a Montgomery County commissioner. She even said, we're not able to find transmission in gyms, and we had almost no transmission in restaurants. And Tom Wolf, he said, we're using data from Chase Manhattan Bank and Yale and Stanford. And it's like, what are you talking about? Okay. So that's why you're killing an entire industry, especially before Christmas?
Well, none of this makes any sense. It doesn't, you know, and I do get upset because, you know, I have friends who own restaurants and bars. And you know, these are people who put their entire lives into building up these businesses. Their life savings oftentimes. And to see, you know, some, you know, politicians tell them what they can and can't do. And look, I'm a kind of a libertarian. I believe that people as adults, this is a free country, right? As adults, we should be able to make our own decisions. We have 10 months of the coronavirus. You know, if I want to go to a restaurant, why should the government tell me I can and can't do if I'm a healthy person? I mean, the rules don't make any sense. And look, Americans will be, they're not stupid. right? We're not stupid people. We're not going to. Some people are stupid, but we're not going to do things that are dangerous. And somebody's got to explain to me why it is that the restaurants are closed in Pennsylvania and New York and New Jersey, but in Florida and Texas and Tennessee they're open, and there's fewer cases in those states than there are in the states that are locked down. I mean, there's no evidence, zero evidence, that shutting down businesses and shutting down restaurants has done anything in these states like Pennsylvania to reduce the spread of the virus. There's just none.
No, there's no science, math, whatever, all the different
right.
signs.
And these
they
are the
say.
People, Eddie, by the way, who keep telling us we got to follow the science. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's look at the science. I mean, I just looked at the numbers last night. The places that have the highest rate of the disease are New York, New Jersey, California. California has been shut down for the last couple of months, and yet the virus has been spreading there. So. Again, somebody show me some evidence that this stuff right. works, because it really hasn't.
Steve, and I just wanted to ask you, because it was a question posed to me. I know that you were a fan of the payroll tax cut that
yeah.
should have been a part of, you
it
know, the coronavirus
have.
Bill. One.
I am.
Oh, go yeah, ahead. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Well, ask your question, because this is an important topic to me. Go ahead.
Okay. So, one, if we lose the seats in Georgia and there's a President Biden, there's no shot. I already know that. There's no shot of it happening. If we gain the seats, or if we keep the seats there in the Senate in the Florida, in Georgia,
yeah.
is that part of the plan moving forward? Is there enough to get that done? The payroll tax cut.
Well, the problem is, look, with Joe Biden and the president, all we're going to be doing, if you believe in economic growth and you're pro-business and you're a supply-sider like, you know, Ronald Reagan, Donald Trump, Jack Kemp, you know, we're going to be playing defense. By the way, just as a side, you saw what the president did yesterday, which is incredible and, miraculous, and what a great, great policy. He is providing low-income scholarships so kids can go to school if their schools are shut down, if the government schools are shut down.
Wow.
What an incredible, gift to low-income and minority parents to be able to send their kids to good schools that rich people get to send their kids to. I mean, now the left is alarmed about this. Oh, my God, we can't let, low-income and minority kids go to good schools. They have to be stuck in the government schools in the inner cities. And so Trump deserves a lot of credit for that. Now, I guarantee you that when Joe Biden is in the Oval Office, first thing he's going to do is repeal that, because he doesn't care about kids. He cares about the teachers' unions, right? And that's just a little example of the kind of bad policies we're going to get from Biden. But on the payroll tax cut, I was the biggest advocate of this. I talked to the president many times about this. But there was a bigger advocate of that policy than me, and that was the president. He loved the idea. And think about if we had done this instead. First of all, we could have repealed the payroll tax for every single worker in America and every single small business in America for a year. That means a 7.5% pay raise for every single worker and a 7.5% reduction in payroll costs for every small business. That would have caused an explosion of more employment and jobs in this country. And yet, and by the way, you know how many pages it would have taken to do that? One page, not 5,900 pages, one page, right? And that's why I'm so frustrated. It would have been, sometimes government is just dumb, and we could have done that at less than the cost of all building the wall in Jordan and the gender equity programs and giving universities money and things like that that have nothing. By the way, how is opening up the Smithsonian or giving money to the Smithsonian Institute and building a women's museum or something like that, what does that have to do with the pandemic?
Right. I think, what, $2.5 trillion was left of the bill that they were talking about for the American people. That's
yep.
And then just real quick, Steve, just one last question.
Okay.
When a leftist asks me that, the payroll cut tax won't do anything, that's not enough. What do I say? I'm genuinely curious.
Well, ask Americans, what do you think about getting a 7.5% reduction in your and by the way, what I like about this plan is exactly what liberals don't like about it. I like the idea that payroll tax cut goes to the people who are working. Because you know what? It's not the guy or gal sitting
right.
on the couch that's the hero. The heroes are the nurses and the people working in the nursing homes and the doctors and the delivery people, the people working in the grocery stores and the people cleaning the bathrooms in the airport. Those are the heroes of the economy. Why not give them you know, some tax relief. And by the way, this would encourage people to work. And that's what we need more of. We need to get America back to work. There, I said it. But we do. And by the way, 6.5 million open jobs in this country. With the additional unemployment benefits, we're actually going to have more jobs available. We're going to have a hard time. Remember what happened this summer when, when the economy was rebounding? Employers couldn't get people come back to work because we were paying them so much to stay unemployed.
I remember a lot of golf course operators had that exact problem that I know locally. So the chief economist of this show, Steve Moore, an economist at the Heritage Foundation, on the president's team for Reopen the Economy. Steve, have a great new year. Thanks so much.
Happy New Year to you, too, and all my friends there in the Philadelphia area. Things are going to get better, folks. I mean, the vaccine, we're all going to get vaccinated, and it's going to be a distant memory, this terrible episode of coronavirus.
Thank you, Steve.
All right. See ya.
817-818 on Philadelphia's Morning Answer. And take a quick commercial break. 610-850-0990, 610-850-0990. This is Fast Eddie Chiazzo on Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer.
Your opinion matters. Take the poll at 990theanswer.com. Sponsored by Stillman Volvo, four generations in Westchester. Online at stillmanvolvocars.com.
Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer. Listen live everywhere at 990theanswer.com.
8:34. Fast Eddie Chiazzo with you, filling in for the great Chris Stegall. Still time to get in to let me know what you want to do with that $600 or $2,000 check that might be coming from the government, perhaps in the next week, 2 weeks. 610-850-0990, 610-850-0990. And I'm very excited this morning because we have a special guest that I'm a huge fan of, Gary G. Cobb, former NFL player for, yes, the Cowboys, I know, the Lions, but we know him as the great Philadelphia Eagle. G. Cobb, welcome. Welcome in.
Hey, Eddie C., what's happening?
Oh, living the dream here on a Tuesday as we're about to ring in the new year, so I'm excited about that. How are you?
I'm doing great. You know, it's been quite a year, and I'm enjoying the holidays and, spending the time, of course. Well, I kind of joke, spending time with the family. We right. all have been spending a whole lot of time with the family,
A little too. How many? I can't remember off the top of my head. How many kids do you have, G?
I've got three. And four grandkids.
Oh, God bless.
Yeah,
So I hear being a parent is fun, but being a grandparent is way better. That's what I've heard, at least.
Without a doubt, because you don't have to be the bad guy, and especially a lot of times, as the dad, you have to be the bad guy. You got to be the guy that comes in and go, okay, all right, now I've got to be honest with you. Let me tell you what you got to do. Okay, you got to take a look in the mirror here in this situation, because you got to do A, B, and C, and you're just going to have to grow up over here. You can't keep doing that. So you got to give those kind of talks and. A lot of times, when they see you coming, they know that, the party's over, really got to, but then later on, when your kids grow up and everything, they appreciate it later on that you were honest with them and you prepared them for adulthood.
Right.
Yep.
Yep. No, that's great. I it's funny you say that. I remember there was never a scarier moment for me than if I did something wrong at school or, I got in a fight with somebody or whatever it was. There was nothing like waiting for my dad to get home to find out. That moment was pure terror.
Hey, I know exactly what you're talking about. That's why, just started laughing when I was in school, sometimes, the teacher might think, that I'm going to be some kind of trouble, but I was no trouble in school, because they didn't know my dad. My dad has been in the service, and we used to joke, we were brought up in the army, because We had to abide by Army rules, you know, like different things like take all you want, but eat all you take, you know? You know, things like that. But he made us, you know, we had to be accountable for what we did. You know, we're not, you know, if something was going on when we were there at the house with our mom and everything, it came to the point, hey, we were the men there. So we had to pick up stuff. You know, don't be looking at your mom walking in here with bags of food or whatever. Hey, get up. You know, we're looking at TV though. And look, turn that TV off. Get over there and help your mom with, you know, things like that. You know, and so it was, you know, you look back, like I said, I used to frown my face and everything. Oh, but just, he was just telling you, you know, how to, you know, you got to be a man. So, you know, you certain things you're supposed to take on. You know, you don't sit there and let the women take all of the, you know, they're going to endure all things. And, you know, be a man. Stand up there and take responsibility here. So it was good. I look back and laugh, but I see so many kids, though, that they didn't get that. And that's one of the things that really I think is part of one of the reasons I'm here is to talk to I talk to a lot of youngsters about growing up and taking responsibility and being a man about things, and don't sit around here and start thinking about you. We don't have time for you to think about you. You got to take care of this situation over here, you know.
Yeah, we're speaking with Gary G. Cobb, as you know him, and that's perfectly said, Gary. That's actually one of the things I wanted to talk about was, you know, your work in the prison system. Can you expand? Mm-hmm. Can you expand on some of the work that you do with the prisons?
Well, you know, I work with, you know, a lot of, you know, youngsters who are incarcerated. Mm-hmm. And most of them, they're in their, you know, late teens and early 20s. And, you know, for different reasons, you know, they've been incarcerated. And so, you know, I do a Bible study for them, you know, and but it's kind of it's not the regular type of Bible study, because we end up talking about things, you know. I let them, you know, ask me questions about all types of things. And even when I start talking to them, I'll venture out and start talking to them about regular things about life, you know, share how, you know, God cares about the fact, you know, of how you look at life, and he cares about you. And the first thing is they know that, hey, you got a father that cares about you. You know, yeah. He cares about what's going on with you. He cares about, you know, how you're making it financially. He cares about how you're making it emotionally. He wants you to be a person that that's going to be beneficial to the people you meet. You know, that they say, you know, there's something about that guy. What's the, you know, because you know that he cares about you, and eternally he's committed to you. He's committed to you forever. He will never leave you or forsake you, you know, so eternally. So that commitment, you know, so many kids didn't get that. Their father wasn't there. So the true father can step in and be a father then. And so many kids, they need a father. Yeah. And so I talk to them about things. But every week I go and I'm, you know, I work with these kids. They've been doing it for about 30 years, you know. And
wow.
Work with the... with so many kids, because a lot of times, you know, if I'm either in Philadelphia or somewhere in South Jersey, I walk into a store somewhere and they go, Mr. Cobb. and I know that's one of my guys, you know, and I'll talk to them about keeping a job, how you got to be there on time, be the first one there, be prepared when you show in there,
right.
You know, go home and get some sleep so you're ready to give a good day's work the next day, you know, be the person that does more than they asked you to do. Because when they decide they got to let some people go, they're going to keep you. Because, see, you're doing more than they even asked you to do. You know, having that kind of attitude,
yes.
You know, and having a good attitude and being thankful for the things you have, you know, that it separates you from other people. And it's really, you know, this sign of being a believer, you know. And so, you know, I enjoy talking. And, you know, there's nothing more that I love more than seeing a kid, a young man who started out, And he wasn't sure about, and then he grows up and he's sure about who he is, because he knows, hey, you know, Jesus died for me. You know, I have value.
Right.
God cares about me. I'm precious to the Lord. And because of that, you know, these other people are precious to God too, you know. So
yes.
So there's just a gleam in their eye. You can see that, you know, that's the Lord, that, you know, and that's what life is about. You know, that's the true life, you know. And so I like, that's what I get a chance to share that. And I just enjoy it. And I know that's one of the reasons I'm here.
And thanks for sharing that with us. We're speaking with G. Cobb, Gary Cobb, legendary Philadelphia Eagle. And of course, I'm sorry, I can't let you go without talking about the season that was this year. So I'm dying to know, just because you're on the inside, you know, is there a quarterback controversy in the locker room with the Eagles?
Well, I think there is. You know, I mean, there are guys that right now, you know, they definitely there are guys in there that believe in Jalen Hurts as a leader.
Sure.
But there are the guys in that believe in Carson too. And you know, I think that, you know, a lot of people criticize the Eagles for drafting Jalen Hurts. You know, oh, how could you draft them? Well, having a quality backup quarterback, we've shown that that's the reason that we have a Super Bowl title. You know,
because
we had a quality backup quarterback. You know, so there's nothing, there's no negative in having a quality backup. And the thing about Jalen is, Jalen can, he can play football and play a quarterback position here in Philadelphia because he can deal with all of the controversy. Mm-hmm. Everybody's talking about you all the time. You know, some saying good, some saying bad. He's dealt with that in Alabama in front of the nation. So he's able to deal with that. And the other thing is he's not going to be tearing down the team. He's not going to be tearing down his teammates. Like the Eagles could sit him back down next year, mm-hmm. and he's not going to be tearing down Carson Wentz. So, you know, I think it was a great pick, and I see good things. And I think Carson, you know, Carson just needs to be – he's got to realize, you know, he's got to take care of the fundamentals. And I think that Carson could come back next year and have a great year, but he's got to go to work on the fundamentals, and he's got to start – he can play the way he's capable. We know what he's capable of playing like. And I think the Eagles are in a great situation. They got two outstanding quarterbacks. You know, we got to just get Carson playing like he's capable. But we know that next year, hey, if Carson stumbles again next year, we got a guy we can put in there that can get this ship going. So I think that the Eagles are in a good situation. And there is a quarterback. You know, there's people going to be talking about quarterback all year. But it's a good thing. We got two good quarterbacks. Right. That's not a negative. That's not a negative.
To be perfectly honest, that's what I thought. I always think of how difficult it is to field a good, like, it's backup quarterbacks are so hard to come by in the NFL right now. So to think that Jalen Hurts fills that role, I mean, these last couple of games, to be perfectly honest, I'm excited. I'm excited to have two good quarterbacks.
And I'll tell you this, if the Eagles wanted to, next year they could trade Jalen Hurts and get a first-round pick.
They
drafted him with a second-round pick. They're in a good position. People say, oh, you know, it's got such a problem. No. But Carson is capable of playing better, and they do need to work with him. And he's got to tighten some things up. But we know that he's capable of playing great football. We got to get him back there. But we got a good guy behind him, and that's not a negative.
All right.
And you saw this past game. Hurts going, not Hurts, but going back a little bit. It's not just on one guy, too, right?
Well,
that's right. You know, and the thing is, you know, Jalen Hurts, he's a young player. He's not always polished where he's ready to take on the world, you know. So he's still a young guy. So we know that, you know, the entire team has to play well. And they did not play well against the Cowboys. And we know that it's a team sport. And I think that, you know, I talked years ago, I used to call, I coined a phrase talking about Philadelphia, call it Negadelphia.
Right.
But sometimes we get a little too negative. And, you know, I think that they can turn things around. They had a lot of injuries this year, but the guys really need to sit down and really look at the mistakes, because you cannot turn the ball over in the NFL and win. So that's the first thing they got to work on. But we got to get guys healthy. And but I see a lot of promise. I see a lot of promising young players that I think got the chance to play this year, and I see a lot of good things ahead. But they still got, you know, some important decisions to make going forward.
All right, Gary Cobb, G. Cobb, thank you so much. A picture of optimism for the Eagles out of this.
That's right.
this terrible, terrible season. But but we'll look forward with a smile. Thanks
That's
for joining
right.
me, G.
Hey, it was a pleasure talking to you.
You as well. All right, it's 648. 610-850-0990. Could be on the cusp of receiving $600 or $2,000 in this next round of stimulus. Give me a call. 610-850-0990. We're online at 990theanswer.com. 8:52 today, looking for a flurry, windy, a little bit colder, high of 39. Tonight, clear, low of 24. Tomorrow, sunshine mixing with clouds, high of 41. And right now, it is partly cloudy, 37 degrees. And again, still time to get in, 610-850-0990. You might be getting a $600 check, or you might be getting a $2,000 check from the new second wave of coronavirus stimulus that's taken, 6 months now?
How are you going to spend yours if you get it?
For me?
Yeah. Or no, I shouldn't say spend. How will you utilize? Because you may not spend it.
Honestly, I will put it into paying bills and use as much as I can to support the restaurants. My wife and I have been trying when we can at least once a week, sometimes on good weeks, twice a week, to support a local restaurant, a different restaurant, by doing takeout.
Because it is called stimulus as opposed to safety net.
Right?
I
know, but
I'm with you.
I'm an adult now.
My money's already spent. Whatever that comes in, I already have places it needs to go.
Exactly.
It's not going to stimulate too much except a little excitement for me that some holes will be plugged.
And We had a caller earlier. This is not good to some people. They don't want to see this at all. This stimulus check coming because there are repercussions.
Sure.
For this, we will have to pay it back some way or the other. So don't think of it as just money in your pocket. But it is the holidays, and I thought that would be a good question.
Yeah, we had a couple of calls on that. Some good thoughts. I had a text from my brother, Bob, who lives in Nashville.
Yes.
With the bombing.
An update.
Right. Well, he just said where the bombing was, he says that's in a section of downtown Nashville known as the district where all kinds of clubs for live music, museums, and restaurants are. Mm. The boys and I, my brother has two sons, went to the Wild Horse Saloon to see the band Striper in concert about 10 years ago.
Wow.
So it's been affected, and that's all those things that we're already dealing with.
Can you imagine? Because that's where new musicians, it used to be, you're a DJ, you know, it used to be L.A. and New York. That's where all the, if you were an aspiring musician, that's where you'd go.
Right.
Nashville has been that place for probably the last maybe even decade or so.
Correct.
And to take that, you're already hit with a pandemic.
And now
then these bars and clubs are closed down. This is where all these people make their money. This is where they play. This is where they get seen. And now you've taken that away, and now, unfortunately, it looks like they've taken the physical infrastructure away from some of those places. I can't imagine.
A lot to be seen yet. But so we'll see in days to come. But I know you've been working hard getting ready for the next week here, few days.
Yes, I've spent a lot of my time behind a computer screen because I wanted to bring the best interviews, the biggest interviews to listeners of this show, and greatly thank you. And if I could say, very thankful for you listening and tuning in today for my first time filling in for Chris. It was a lot of fun.
You did great.
Tim DeMoss, thank you.
My privilege.
For producing.
Where's the coffee?
Hey, where's the coffee? Yeah, we got to get another one.
The next couple days, right?
So the next couple days, if you're tuning in from 6 to 9 a.m., it's going to be all the greats. You're going to hear from Donald Trump. President Donald Trump. You're going to hear from pretty much the entire Trump family. You're going to hear from Dr. Fauci. He'll be popping in, and that was pre-surgery, so he still sounds like that. And Dr. Stephen Hahn and Norristown Boys. So from all of us here at Philadelphia's AM 990 The Answer, have a happy new year. Thanks for listening.